I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Since Friday's super fun worship party did just raise this roof, I thought today we ought to talk about the purpose and power of our worship. And specifically, why on earth singing songs works so well? Because it sure does. And without reasons for raising our voice, I'll tell you what, we're doomed to lower our standards and accept some wimpy phony that only inspires weak worship. And I don't like that.
No.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. So I'm going to ask you, even though you already kind of answered me a little bit, how noisy is your joy?
Pretty noisy.
Yeah. How noisy is your joy? Really think about it, because I'll tell you what, let me be honest here. Full disclosure, old Noah, he was quite a character. Old Noah was a hard pass when it came to Sunday singing. I was not a fan for some time. It took actually quite a while until new Noah stopped timing his church commute to sneak in just as the singing stopped. Yeah, I think we've all played that game once or twice, right? Man, but guess what I discovered?
What?
We need worship to live, guys. We need it. We need worship to live. And deep down, we all know it because we are all just dying to find a place to let it out with a big old shout. And that's why we're here. And if you need proof of that, then I want you to listen up here, okay? Because I don't sing well. I do sing, but I don't sing well. And maybe if I worked at it, because I understand that's what it takes, but if I worked at it, maybe I could sing okay. But that ain't happened yet. I have not put enough work into it. And despite how harmonious we sound together, which, boy, is something magical, I know what I add to the mix, okay? And it ain't pretty. As a matter of fact, I want to play a clip from last week's worship that was like mainly focused on hearing your beautiful voices here, and then we're going to have my mic come up here. So go ahead and play that. Oh, and I love this song. We played this last week. Colin says, I want to hear you, and I said, okay.
The earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
So beautiful. I don't know. But he went for it. You got to give that to him. So, was that encore? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, Plankton. I get that a lot. But Plankton's got to worship too, so that's all right. So, the question is this. Why do I do it? Why? To you. Why do I force that upon you? Why am I compelled to embarrass myself week after week with my off-key offerings? And the answer is actually quite simple. I have to. I just have to. I don't have a choice in it. It's the same way that we all have to go to the restroom. We just have to. And I'm sorry, I know, but that's not my analogy. That was actually Jesus. Jesus who says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth and goes into the stomach and then out of the body, right? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. Because we know, out of the abundance of the heart, which is the stuff that you've put into it, the mouth speaks. Right? So I'm sorry for sounding crude, but God knows how to make a point hit home when he needs to. And apparently, we need to know that the urgency in the way our words works goes like this. What goes in must come out. Right? It must come out. It's just as uncontrollable as any other bodily function. But then again, if you stop and think about it, you already knew that. Because after all, what are all of us about to go do in a couple hours? Or some of us? Go home and pray. That's what I thought. That's what I heard over there. Yep. That's what we're doing. No, right, yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday, right? So a lot of us are going to get together in fellowship and watch a game that doesn't have the Seahawks in it for some reason. I don't understand. But we're going to get together and watch the Super Bowl, right? And whatever team has more of your heart, right, has taken up more room in your heart, is going to move you to stand and shout or sit and pout. Like, one of those things will happen. Unless you're one of those people who just comes for the snacks and commercials, which is a good idea, actually. But either way, wherever you're at, it's hard to hold it in, right? And it makes me think of this. There was an incredible video. It was this. Remember the time when the Seahawks were one win away from the Super Bowl? Well, there were these diehard fans, right? And I think they were all like minor league coaches or whatever. And they were offered $5,000 to just contain themselves and stay silent as they watched the game. And you got to see how it goes. Check it out.
Seahawks, baby! Home of the 12th man. We're in Seattle. How about that? We got a little challenge. So what we're going to do for you is we got a chance for you to earn $5,000. All you gotta do, watch the NFC Championship. In complete silence. No sounds, beginning right now.
Quick snap, Wilson keeps it. Trying to get him going, and ball's out. It is recovered. Alden Smith knocked it out. Into it. This one down the middle of the field. It's Baldwin. Baldwin down inside the 15. Kaepernick hops through trouble and now throws. End zone. Caught for the touchdown. Anquan Boldin.
Now they're going to go for it.
Caught for the touchdown. Curse. Chance to take the lead. Kaepernick, end zone, Crabtree. Broken up. Picked off!
That's me. If I could do the worm, I'd be doing it. I'm just saying. Ain't that crazy? $5,000 wasn't enough to hold it back. That's how much it had to come out. And just so you know, so this thing has a happy ending. They did lose the $5,000, but then they came out and said, "You're such good fans, we want to give you $50,000. So the moral of the story is always scream, all right? Like, just make it, don't hold it in. So anyway, this is the question though. Why are we so weak? Why can't we just stay quiet during a stinking football game? Right? And what does worship really have to do with that? Well, I want to talk about that. So let's back up real quick here. Do you know where we get the word worship? Royce is here. I have a feeling he does know. But here's where it comes from. It's just it's an old English mashup of the words worth and shape. Right? That's it. Worship literally just means worth's shape or the shaping of worth. Your worship is what you think and feel represents value itself. That's it. It's what you deem to be worthy. And beyond that, as we all naturally know, worship's main meaning really manifests in its action when it happens, right? And in fact, the Bible's Hebrew and Greek words that they translate, because they use a bunch of, you know, words for different meanings, but they keep several of them for worship. And the ones that they use generally mean bow or prostrate or serve, because worship is something that you do in response to something that you value. Okay, that's how it works. Worship means letting something's worth shape you. And we're all actually very familiar with that. It means somehow changing yourself to acknowledge and accommodate something else that has great value to you personally. And you all know this. To get an example of how it works, just think of the things that you value most in your life, all right? I mean, you have several of them. A lot of them. I mean, that's all we do is we collect those things. And then ask yourself about those things. Do you let them shape you? Honestly. You guys like money? Yeah, you do. I like money. It's true. But has the way that you value money changed any of your ways? Has it had an effect on you? Yeah, of course it has. And what about the importance of success, right? You got goals and stuff. Has that changed you? Yes. How about approval? How about power? Well, how about integrity? All right, how about honesty? Do you value that? How about loyalty? Because it can be good or bad, but what you value will ultimately determine how you do you. That's where it comes from. And whether it's a person that you value, and then you might tell this person, you are my whole world. You're my reason for living. You're why I do things. Or if it's a possession that makes you feel like this is it, this thing right here will complete me. This is going to fix all my problems. I finally have it. Either way, believing that either of them are worthy enough to let them shape you in some way is worship, right? You might not call it that, just being a fan of something or whatever, but it is worship. When you give something in your life the power to change you, you have begun a worship relationship with it. And whether it's right or wrong, the more the value that you give it, the harder it is to contain the change that it's trying to bring out in you. So, I want you to just get in the Wayback Machine here and just imagine what it was actually like, all right, to witness the power of Jesus walking around in real life 2,000 years ago, to be there, and then ask yourself, what would change in your life if you yourself actually got to just watch him work and experience what that was worth? What would you do? What would it be like? We have a ton of examples in the Bible, but here's a great one. When he came near, the whole crowd of disciples, that should be us in this analogy, began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Woo! But some of the Pharisees who were in the crowd, who had value somewhere else very much so, said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples, you know, shut them up, keep it down." And Jesus, "I tell you," he replies, this is what Jesus says, "if they keep quiet, these stones will cry out." Good luck shutting them up is what he says, right? Because restraining our worship is impossible. Can't happen. We can try to delay or maybe redirect it somewhere else, but I'll tell you what we can't do. We can't contain it. It just comes out. It's natural. Just like the football fans, right? Speaking out is our natural reaction to whatever it is that wows us. That's where we get wow. Wow! It just happens, and you just can't help it. You just have that reaction. And it comes with the same urgency of a much-needed bathroom break. You just gotta let it out. You can't hold it in. It's impossible. The only difference there is that worship is the ultimate relief of our mind and our heart and our body. Because real worship happens when something fills our thoughts and our emotions and our actions. You know, it's not just a good argument, you know, that you think about, or a touching story that makes you feel something, or a physical reaction that just has to happen. It is all three, when it has all three elements. Because the things that we think are the most worthy in our lives have all three dimensions. And generally, worship is built by our thoughts first, right? That's where they begin, in our minds. We begin to believe in something's worth when we start to wrap our heads around what it actually is by what it offers, right? And we fill our minds thinking about this thing by collecting stories and studies and individual endorsements of whatever that thing is. You know, and you'll be like, "Oh man, are you telling me that this app right here can scan my meals and it can track my macros, and that's how you lost 50 pounds, huh? Well, that's worth a try. That is absolutely worth a try." We start thinking about it that way, right? And as our minds meditate on whatever the increase is that this thing offers, Our worship then overflows into our emotions next. It goes from our head to our heart. If what we now know is actually true about this thing, well, then our feelings for this thing are going to change because our heart fills with thankfulness and appreciation and excitement and, of course, joy. You go, well, this is the app I've been looking for. This is the one. This is what I wanted. I can finally fix that flaw that's been plaguing me in the past for so long. This is it. I'm going to be beautiful. It's going to happen because of this app. This is worth getting excited about. And once we're filled with those feelings, right? We're thinking about it. We're feeling it. Well, our worship just spills out naturally into our action. We just can't sit still now. We need to do something with it. And our life fills up with these sudden outbursts and all these reasonable reactions that we have. You just go, woohoo, I'm a new man. This is incredible. I got to tell the world because this thing changes you and it is worth sharing. And that's what we do. And I'll tell you what, that right there is what has to happen when you grow to know and feel God's ultimate worth. It does. It's just a natural reaction. You become like Elihu in Job, if you know this story. When he just tries to sit and listen, he says, I'm just sitting and listening to this discussion about God. But then he just chimes in. He says, I will tell you what I know. For I am full of words, and the spirit within me compels me. Inside, I am like bottled up wine in new wineskins, ready to burst. I must speak and find relief. I must open my lips and reply. Just can't hold it in. Can't hold it in. Or maybe you'll be like John and Peter when they're told to stop spreading the news and the stories of Jesus. And what do they say? They say, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. It's not up to us because it's not really a choice. It's not once we actually see something of such great value. Worship is just the natural force that pushes our thoughts and our emotions into our actions. You do it every day. Whatever you're thinking and feeling, it just comes out of you in that way. And as it fills us and spills out, worship builds and strengthens our conviction and our character. But, now this is where things get a little tricky, but because it ends up in our actions, right? It's very external, which means it also always winds up on display. Everyone can see it all the time, which means it has a very huge and humbling byproduct. Worship turns you inside out. It does. It just shows people those things. What you value is brought to the surface, and then it ultimately just overflows to unintentionally provide a picture of what you had hiding inside your heart and mind. Everybody now knows. They know. And I'll tell you exactly what it's like, and this is very embarrassing. It's like when that Backstreet Boys song comes on, and you just can't help but start doing the moves and singing along with or whatever the thing is, right? You can't help it. It naturally happens because you like it, because you love it. Worship reveals your true thoughts and feelings, whether you want to or not. It's just, it happens. And agree. I'm glad that was out there, and I thought it was happening in my head for a second, so that's good news. That's good news. Okay. But anyway, that means that worship, okay, worship says more about you and who you actually are than your social security number, your credit cards, your internet history, and your social media combined, right? Because it makes you vulnerable. You don't get to choose. It just comes out of you. See? It has to. It just has to. It makes you as vulnerable as possible. It just does. And you know what? That is great. That is great news. We think that that's terrible because one of the things that we fear the most is giving people that glimpse. We hate being vulnerable, but it's so good. And here's why. Because there's three groups that are greatly affected by that honest peek that you provide, that vulnerable look inside. And those three groups are others, you, and God. Those three. So what does it do to the others who hear you, right? What effect does it have? And we should know this one actually pretty well. What did it do for you after you were forced to hear my worship? wanted to do, I bet you pity me. I bet you pity me a little bit more than you did before. Because like I said earlier, that leads to, I don't know, it's sad. I pity me. Is that weird? After hearing that, I thought it was better. It sounded better inside. Anyway, that right there, though, it leads to wondering. When you pity someone, you say, why are you doing that to yourself? Right? It leads to wondering, why are they willing to embarrass themselves like that? And then think about what that does for you, right? What does that vulnerability also affect in you? Well, it likely makes you feel a little bit better about yourself. You go, I don't sound like that. I mean, I thought I was pretty bad, but that's okay. It's not bad. And, you know, that's all right. So you get a little bit of confidence. You feel a little better. And that's wonderful because witnessing worship can interest and encourage others, the people who see it, the people who see your worship. They could say, why is he doing that? And well, I could do that. So it interests and encourages them. But what about ourselves, okay? All right, you have to put up with you too. So what about ourselves? When you let your own insides out, what effect does it have on you? Well, we've already talked about one, right? First off, it's a relief, right? It's been bubbling up in you. You just have to let it out. It comes, oh, good. But having an outburst doesn't just prevent your implosion. Releasing your thoughts and your feelings, as any good psychologist I'm sure will tell you, releasing your thoughts and feelings gives you an honest look at what you've been building and how it's holding up, right? You get to see where you're at really. Because witnessing worship can satisfy and edify ourselves. Ah, it's good. It helps us out. And then there's God. There's God. He gets to see it because he gets to see everything. He never misses a single moment of all your actions. He's front and center all the time. So what happens when he sees what you're worshiping? Well, he gets a snapshot too, just like everybody else. He gets a snapshot of where you are, who you are, what's going on with you, where you are. And that means he gets a look at what he has to work with right there, which is what all he needs really, because he goes, okay, that's where you're at. But from there, he can find the way to get you filled with the real worth that he's been wanting to give you. So he says, you're right here. We're going to get you to here. I just need to know where you're at. Because witnessing worship lets God plan that change that saves our life and fulfills his will. Because that's what he wants to do. He just wants you to be honest. So show him where you're at with your worship. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Just give it to him. But again, okay, I know. These are tough things, but here's the caveat, all right? Just remember that there are two big flaws that can pause or prevent your true and proper worship. They can get in the way here. The wrong address and an empty tank. Because worship won't work without the right address, right? If you're sending it somewhere else, it's not going to work. If you assign ultimate worth to something that can't deliver true value, then your worship is already sunk. It's worthless, right? Which is why since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, right? Not earthly things. For you died to down here and those things. You died to down here. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So set your heart and your mind up there. Don't ever forget this, guys. We're a dead end. Down here, we're a dead end. We kind of touched on this idea last week, but fake saviors aren't worth your time. They don't offer anything. And the most common counterfeit is ourselves. All right, so we gotta be careful because being full of ourselves keeps our worship weak. And it does, and it happens a lot. And it happens, it's not even intentional. A lot of the time, we just start putting ourselves on that throne and saying, I'm the one who's gonna figure it out. But for our hearts and minds to be filled enough, right, for ongoing overflowing like we're supposed to be having, the worth that we're worshiping has to be always wowing, always, nonstop. It has to be wow, wow, incredible all the time. You think you can sustain that? Nope. No, you can't. We can't inspire that reliable reaction in ourselves. We're just not cool enough. We're not good enough. We're not worthy enough. And if you can't bring yourself to sing God's praise because you're still thinking that you are going to find some ultimate worth somewhere down here, don't worry, but do be prepared, because life is pretty good at robbing you of ultimate worth. You can go ahead and get behind something, but watch it fail, right? Because everything down here does that. Everything falls apart. It's entropy. That's just what happens down here. Sickness, confusion, failure, right? All manner of sufferings are always right there at hand to remind us that we are not naturally the shape of worth itself. Yet. We're not naturally. But if any imposter is taking the place of ultimate value in your life, then you cannot be fully filled with the one love that's really worthy of actually shaping you, which is what we're supposed to be getting to. And that can contribute to problem number two, because worship won't work when we're running on empty. And this is plaguing us, guys. This is scary stuff. We all know this feeling when we're running on empty. It just, everything kind of just starts falling apart, right? And whether your heart and mind have been sort of falsely filled by that fraud, you know, the counterfeit, and that's the reason. Or, and here's the one that I think a lot of us are encouraged to be like in this day and age, right? Or if you're emptied out by apathy, can't care about anything. Either way, when you're running on that emptiness, the real worth of God's love can't be spilling out of you, because it hasn't filled you up. It can't fill you up. But once again, if your low-level worship reveals that you've been running on empty, if that is the culprit, if that's what's going on, I don't got anything in there, nothing's coming out, that's fine. That's okay. That's good, actually, in fact, because now you know exactly what you need to fix. You need to get filled up, right? You need to be filled with some real worth somewhere that's sustainable, that really works. That's why you're here, is we're looking for stuff to put in there. We want to experience it so that it fills up and overflows and shows others and brings them in, right? That's what we're doing. You need to let the Lord inside by either evicting whoever's in his way, right? If you got somebody else or something else in there, get it out of there, right? Or you just need to pay more attention to what he's already doing in, around, and through you. Because he is at work, and he's doing incredible stuff, and he should be wowing you every single day. Earlier, I asked you, I said, what would you change if you, yourself, got to watch God work, you know, like in person, and experience what it was worth, right? That was a trick question, guys. That was a trick question, because every Christian ought to be having that experience. If you're really letting him lead like that, if you've let the Lord lead, he should be filling your life with a love that just overflows your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions. So it works both ways. So I'm going to ask you again, how noisy is your joy? Not noisy enough. It's getting closer. How noisy is your joy? It's a great little thermometer, right? It's just a way to just take your temperature and see where you're at right now. How noisy is my joy? Because the lower the volume, the bigger the problem. And our silence, when we get down there, our silence says we're either full of ourselves or we're low on the Lord. It's the two problems there. But here's the good news, guys. There is a simple fix for both of them. Super simple. It's one of the best, easy, tightest little verses in the Bible. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that sounds simple. So you ask, how does that happen? Well, here's Paul's prayer that sums up how to get it done, okay? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. You know, let him do that. Let him do that. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you just give him his shot, that's all he needs, right? He loves to prove his worth. And when we let his Spirit do his thing, well, worship just has to happen. It just has to happen. Because nobody can hold him in. He is always and only overflowing. And if you still don't believe me for some reason, then I want you to just listen for the remainder of this service. I want you to just listen to what happens when a church like you guys, that is fit to burst with the worth of a real Jesus, what that sounds like when given a chance to sing and shout and let it all out, because we're going to do that in just a second. But first, let's pray. Father God, we cannot contain the love that you've filled us with, and we are just bursting to shout it out for all to see. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you grow us and you guide us as we strive to see your amazing love do the work that just wows us as it shapes us. And Lord Jesus, we commit to singing your praise all of our days because you alone are worthy of all of our worship. And to that, I hope we can all say, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.